Got a special prayer request on their heart tonight. Anybody in the house tonight?
Just remember Becky and John.
Anthony.
Just remember my family.
Yes. Keep sending your prayers. Yes, Susie.
My family.
Your family. Yeah.
Shirley.
Brenda. Yeah. Dwayne. Okay. And that's good news. That's a praise item. Yes, brother. Okay, remember that. Marie back there, we talked about this morning. Remember her?
Paul and Marty.
We've got many right here in our own little church we can pray for. And yes. Okay. Okay. They live right there next to Anthony. All right. Anybody else tonight? And anybody in our church that's lost, right?
Amen.
And doesn't know Jesus Christ. Most important thing. See, what we know is sickness is coming to all of us. It comes from an insurance man, you see. See, but that's reality. That's life. It comes to everybody. But the main thing is when it does come, it's not going to matter. Because we're ready to roll. It don't make any difference. When you've got that, you got everything you need. Yeah. Let's see here. Who's going to help us tonight? Dwayne, you come on up. We'll take up the Sunday night offering. Anthony, you care to help him there? Thank you, brother. Sit down there tight, Tom. All right. Anthony, bless our offering tonight.
Thank you.
about that blind man this morning, about seeing the light, amen?
Amen.
Yeah. And when you got saved, you saw a light too. Let's sing 264. I think we'll get that tonight. At the cross is where I first saw the light. And then the burden rolled away, amen? Let's stand and sing it together, 264.
My Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would He devote that sacred gift for such a worm as I? At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there my faith, I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it for crimes that I had done, He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away, 'tis all that I can do. At the cross, where I first saw light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there my faith, I received my sight, and now I am happy on the day. Amen.
Would anybody like to sing a special song tonight? Okay, that was your chance. I never ask that unless I mean it. So, if you do, you know you can. Because this is not a programized thing. We don't have step one, step two, and step three. Okay? Okay, let's get back down to the scriptures that we had this morning. Do y'all remember the scriptures? And we were going to cover the whole chapter, and this morning we couldn't, so we decided that we would come back tonight and finish it. And that's what we're going to do. And I can see a few faces that were not here this morning, so I'm going to have to preach the first section first and then come back and get this one. Ray? Okay. God's good, isn't He? I just found out that Lacey works at the Dermatology Associates. That's where my family goes and my friends and my fellow UT people. Yeah, well, you just never know who you're going to run into in this world, do you? Never do. So when you go to the doctor, be real careful, because the person waiting on you and helping you could be the next person you see in church. Right? So be kind and gentle. Of course, my doctor out there, Allison Pierce, when I go and see her, we talk about the big orange. She wears the big orange stuff. She's a dandy. But she hurts me. I sure can, honey. Is that better? I want y'all to be comfortable. Yeah. Well, I normally cut that line off anyway. I just didn't do it tonight. I'm sorry, Pam. Okay. Okay, this morning, Brother Wayne wasn't here this morning, so I'll just kind of hit the highlights here, you know, just to get you there. Wayne, we were talking about darkness and light this morning, going from darkness to light, and we got that darkness is the absence of light, and light was just the opposite of dark. How you like that for a definition? And then we talked about his blindness being the real problem. They thought sin was the reason why he was blind. Sin was not the reason he was blind. It was that God had a plan for curing his blindness so that others could see other than him. A whole lot of people could see after that. And I got a feeling that they did, don't you? And then we went into his deliverance, how God delivered him. You remember the clay and the spit and the pool and everything. None of that had any power. The only thing that had any power was his belief in what God said would happen. And that's where he was. Then he would confess. Confession's good for the soul. Y'all believe that? I've heard y'all say that. But you're usually saying about somebody else, not yourself. Right? But we found out that in this, he's willing, after he has seen the light, he's willing to speak to anyone who will listen to him. And you are too. If you got a good dose of it, I promise you, you'll listen to whoever will come to you. Because once you see the light and you see what God wants you to see in this life, because it's so much bigger and deeper. You know, your spiritual light, your spiritual life is so much more than your everyday life. And I know you go to work and you work daily and you got a job and thank God for it, right? We do. But that's not our life, folks. If we could get to the place, if someone asked us, what do you do for a living? And we could say, I just talk about my Lord. That's our real living, but we know what they mean. And I don't know if you could answer it like that or not, but I'm just saying that's the way we are here tonight. And then he had an assurance of what he got was really real. There was nothing put on about it. What happened to him, he knew it happened because it changed how he saw things. And when it changes how you see things, things are going to be different. So tonight, we're going to get into his testimony. How many of y'all believe that a Christian has a testimony? Yeah. If you have seen the light of salvation and you accepted it into your life, guarantee you have a testimony. Yeah. Because a testimony is how you feel in your heart. All you got to do is tell what's on your heart. You don't have to know all the Bible to do it. You don't have to read other magazines and get outlines to do this. You just tell how you feel in your heart for what the Lord did for you. So he had a testimony. He was going to tell people about the man who opened his eyes. That's pretty simple, isn't it? He's just going to tell them about the man who opened his eyes. But he didn't know all about the man who opened his eyes. Remember that. He didn't know about everything. They asked him questions. He couldn't answer them the way they wanted him to because he didn't know all that. He didn't need to know all that. All he needed to know was the man. And he did. And he had faith in that man's power to change his life, and that man changed his life. Now, I'm not going to get into reading any of the scriptures except as we go through it. So I didn't read that. I want to pause here just a moment and ask the Lord to bless this. I want you to take it in, and I want you to try to remember the things that happened this morning and the things that are going to happen tonight, and take that whole story with you, because it's easier to keep in your head if you'll remember it's chapter 9 of the book of John, and these are the things that happened in this whole chapter, and it'll always come back to you that way. Let's ask the Lord to bless this. Lord, we're so grateful tonight. We're thankful, so thankful for those who have come back tonight. Lord, you know how it inspires my heart to continue to give the gospel out because people are hungry for the truth. And Lord, I just thank you for that tonight. Praise you for every good thing that comes down from heaven to your children. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, let's get to the testimony and what he was doing. When he was asked what he thought about him, he said, surely he was sent from God. Now, that's all he something had to come from somewhere else. This man could not have caused a man who was blind from his birth to see except he was sent from God. That was his answer. In other words, he called him a prophet. A prophet was a sent one. A prophet was one sent by God to give the message. And that's all he knew about that. With his feelings about Jesus, and he had plenty of them at this point in time, with his feelings so high and his enthusiasm so warm toward the Lord, and when you read the whole thing, you feel the warmth of what he had to say about the Lord. And when you know this, he turned around to those that were talking to him and asking him questions, and he said, now, I want to ask you a question. Would you like to be one of his disciples? You see, we're talking about testimonies. I know you've probably never asked anybody if they'd like to be one of the disciples of Christ. You just don't do that, and probably till a little later after you've had a little conversation with them. But that's what he said. Because they had enough knowledge about the Lord that he could say that to them. And so he said, would you also like to be a disciple? Would you like to have a story to tell? Now, they weren't blind like he was blind, but they could have a story. If the Lord changed their life and he could change their life as much or more than he did the blind man. Just because the man was blind didn't mean that his story was bigger. We run into people all the time with defects in this old life, and we want to make that a primary thing in our lives as we pray for people who have, you just named the defect, okay? I'll just let you do that. And we say, well, that's huge. You know, I'm going to pray for this person. Folks, we all got defects. We all got defects. It may not be lame. It may not be mental, physical, whatever. But we all got defects, and we all need prayer from each other. So let's not try to put one person above the other like there are different levels of needs for prayer and needs for the Lord. We all need the Lord. Yeah, amen. I mean, if you got saved when you were a kid, how many of y'all did get saved when you were a kid, up to about your teenage years? I see that. Well, you weren't a hardened criminal, and you weren't a hardened sinner, were you? Say no. No, you weren't. But the thing about it was, you were lost. And it wouldn't make any difference if you were 30, 40, 50, or 10, you were lost. And when you came to the age of accountability for your sin, you were as lost then as you would ever have been. Didn't matter what all the years you would have lived and all the sin you'd been sinning, you would still been just as lost at 10 as you were at 30 or 40. Or as we saw one time, a man 87 years old, never had received the Lord, and at 87 years old, he accepted Christ as his Savior. A miracle? Wow, was it ever a miracle? But he was just as lost when he was 10 years old as he was then. So here we have this man who God has changed his life because he changed his sight. And he said to these people who are hounding him, and they were, he said, I'd like to ask you something. Would you like to be his disciple too? Now, he didn't say that to be mean or anything. He really wanted to know, would they like to be his disciple? This man's heart had been changed. Can you imagine how hard a person could get in life if they had been going through their whole life not being able to do anything that anybody else was doing? I know I've seen people who have gotten hardened on life because they had such a defect, physical defect in their life that they couldn't do anything. And it breaks my heart to see children who have physical defects that can't get out and go play with other kids. And that just breaks my heart. But when they come to the age of accountability, they're no more in need than the kid who is a star football player on the team. We're all the same. Everybody's the same because we're not talking about this life down here. We're talking about eternal life, and that's what we're going for anyway. So he was determined to know nothing among them, and he says this, he was determined to know nothing among them except who? Not what. Who? Say it. Say his name.
Jesus.
You got to say his name. That's the prettiest name you'll ever say. Now, I know that some of you think your little boy has a pretty name. I know some of you think your little girls have pretty names, and you like to hear those names. You like to hear other people call out the names of your children because we know how we like our children. Yeah, and it used to tickle me to death for people to be able to name my four kids. And now they can't name two of them. I'm just I've got nine grandkids now, eight and one. That makes nine, doesn't it? Huh? Yeah, 8 and 1 is 9. Yeah, okay. That's one great, Anthony, in case you hadn't figured that out. Yeah. It doesn't matter who we are in this life. It's who we're going to be when we get there. And we need our name. I got a new name written down in glory. And it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. Amen?
Amen?
And I'm going where my name is written down. I know that that's the place God prepared for me. So he said, I'll tell you what, I don't want to know anybody or anything around here except Jesus. I fell in love with him, and I am a one-person love, and I'm going to stay with him, so don't try to change my mind. He's the one who opened my eyes, and he's the one. And by the way, when you got saved, he's the one who saved you. It wasn't any little preacher or big preacher standing in a pulpit. It wasn't. I have people sometimes in ignorance. I would go do a revival somewhere, and after the revival, we'd have three or four saved, and one of them would come up and say, I want to thank you for saving me. And I said, "Oh, honey, I want to stay here longer. We got to talk. We got to get into the scriptures. You got to know I didn't have anything to do with this. All I did was bring the gospel. If you want to thank anybody, thank God for his word that it came in and enlivened you up, quickened you, made you alive, and changed your life. That's who you need to thank. This man had a testimony, and he was going to give it. If this man..." He said this about Jesus. If this man were not God, he could not have done what he did to me. That's how much he thought about him. And if Jesus Christ, who died for you at Calvary, was not God, amen? Because we know he is. If he were not God, he could not have gone to Calvary. He could not have changed your life. He could not have changed your family's life. He could not have changed your friend's life. We couldn't be here tonight if he wasn't. This man had a testimony, and he was willing to give it. So the name of Jesus has power, don't it? Power. Now, we call talking about power in the blood, but there's power in his name too. Yeah. In our lives, if that doesn't inspire you, you got a problem now. You got a heart problem. So get in touch with the Lord. If you're finding yourself a little deficient in this area, please get in touch with him. If it doesn't inspire you to plead with others to know Jesus, there's a problem. Remember I told you this morning, I got saved and went back to Love Chapel School in Irwin and couldn't wait to tell some of the other kids that I got saved. I was unashamed. And now older people may say, well, you were just 10 years old or 9 years old, 9 and a half, I think. But you were just a kid. You couldn't feel ashamed. I disagree with you. Kids can feel that too. Yeah. But you say, well, I'm an adult and I just can't do that. Oh, yes, you can. If you know what you were and what he changed you from, I can assure you this blind man from his birth knew where he was, and he knew when his sight was given back to them what God had done. There was no keeping him from telling everybody he met. And there will be no keeping you. You'll tell everybody. I tell everybody, don't let a person pass within 3 or 4 feet of you without you looking them, facing them in the eye. And if they stop for just a minute long enough for you to open your mouth, tell them something good from your mouth so that you can get a conversation going where you can tell them a little bit about the Lord.
Yeah,
don't want to scare them to death, but you want to be able to tell them about the Lord, right? And so you get them to that point. So this man had a testimony. So he kept moving right along. Look at verse 33, because 33 is, and they answered him, we be Abraham's seed. And I'm sorry, go back. Let me go back. Hang on. Wrong one. 33 over here. Wrong 33. If this man were not God, he would do nothing. He wouldn't have done what he did. Well, they said, but wait a minute now. There are other things he could be doing except giving you your blindness. He could have helped us, you know, with some thing around the house. If you think for 1 minute that this world's not changing away from a relationship to God to good deeds done in the community, you got another thought coming. That's exactly where it's going. If you can do enough good deeds, you can be good with God. And that wasn't where this blind man was at all. Not at all. He just knew where he was and what God had done for him. And he's testifying to the fact. Well, when he did this, all he had to do was start testifying. When you start testifying about the goodness of God, you're going to get some persecution. Satan is one persecutor. He is. And he's got plenty of people out there who will help him. In verse 28 and 34, I want to read those, if you will. If you got your Bibles, you can flip back. Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciples, but we are Moses' disciples. And then he said in 34, he said, they answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins. Don't have anything good to say about him. They're not picking him up and helping him. They knew he was a blind man from his birth because they walked by him every day. They knew, said, yeah, this is the man. He's here. What kind of people were they? Huh? And then here in 34 it says, and they answered and said to him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? You're trying to tell us what to do? Now, a lot of people will take it that way. If you testify to people, they'll think you're trying to tell them what to do. And I've had people tell me, you're not going to tell me what I should do with my life. I just say, I'm sorry, I'm not. I was just giving you what the Lord said. This is what he said, not what I said. Amen. Then when they said that to him, they cast him out of the church. I could tell you this, if you ever get cast out of the church, you're better off out there with him than you are in here without him. So it's okay. Huh? Yeah. Persecution's not a bad thing. In fact, we're told that we would be persecuted, and it's a true statement. But he was so blessed to be persecuted. You believe that?
Yeah.
That's what the Bible says. For the Lord said, blessed are ye when men shall hate you.
Amen.
Blessed are you. Amen? A man can't think himself into a Christian life. That's what they were doing. And our society today is fastly going in that direction, faster than where they were, but they were trying to get themselves to where we know what's going on, we've been around long enough to have it all figured out, and so we can think ourselves into a position. We'll tell God what we'll do. That wasn't working. They had a veil of some sort over their hearts, evidently, that they couldn't feel, see, or touch anything that had to do with their eternal life. Their life was of little value. If they had just known the one who could give them value. The blind man from his birth, boy, did he see a deal when he got that one. That was a deal of a lifetime. He didn't pay a thing for it. And it wasn't just a temporary thing. He got no warranty with it. He got a guarantee. And nobody had to call him later and say, your warranty's about to run out. What you got ain't going to last forever. You better sign on a dotted line, come back in, get another dose. No, you don't have to. It works forever. Oh, Lordy mercy. And was he satisfied? How many of y'all like to be satisfied Christians? You like, yeah, we have people who want to be satisfied Christians, and they say, this is what it will take to satisfy me as a Christian. And if I do this and do this, and if I had this, and if I had this, I would be satisfied as a Christian. There should not be one thing, just one thing that would satisfy you as a Christian. And that is to know that you did what you were supposed to do to accept Jesus Christ into your life. And you know he's there and you know he'll never leave you. He said he would not ever leave you nor forsake you, not even to the end of the age. I don't care what's going on in your life, how low you may feel, how depressed, how whatever you may feel. He will never leave you. Never, ever, ever leave you. So we see his satisfaction. Look at verse 35 if you're there. And in verse 35, he said this. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. I like this part really good. This is a part that'll make you smile. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. Now, that part was, I know he heard it because he was just like us. He heard, he saw, he felt, he touched, he did everything human that we do. But he already knew it. Any of y'all watched The Chosen? Anybody else see Chosen? It's so good to see sometimes. And I know it's an up-to-date version or whatever you want to call it. But some of the things that Jesus does for the true born-again child of God, and you see him, you know the scripture he's thinking about when he does what he says. And it's pretty good. And when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? Good question. He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? See, he wasn't even there yet. He'd been made to see, and he wasn't where he had gotten to the place to where he would believe for his salvation. He was just seeing where he couldn't see before. And you may go to Sunday school and church service for 10 years and get all kinds of information about this thing, but you've never believed. We probably got people in our congregation who know a whole lot about what the Bible says, but they've never believed, simply believed on what Jesus said to do so that they could be saved. And so he says, he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said to him, now he just made him see, so he's going to go the distance with him. He's not going to leave you hanging. You're going to know the whole thing. And Jesus said to him, thou hast both seen him, with a physical eye, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. Not only are you seeing me, you are hearing me, it is me that you're talking about. Amen. Now, is he ready at that time? Well, let's see if he does in 38. And he said, Lord, I believe. Amen. Huh? Don't it do you heart real good when you're witnessing to somebody about the goodness of God and you know they're not saved and you know they're not going to heaven, they're going to hell. As sure as if they died that day, they're going to hell. And you know that if they'll just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of their soul, and you ask them, do you believe? And they say, I believe. Yeah. I believe. Now, there's a phrase here at Liberty Fellowship. That what a man believes will determine what he does. Now, not that you believe from the head. You believe from the heart. You believe from your very depths of your soul. That's believing. Believing from the head won't get you anywhere. Because if there's nothing going on after you said you believed, a lot of people are fooling themselves, folks. They're fooling themselves, thinking they've done what they need to do. And if their life hasn't changed, there's no heart change in there, they haven't done it. They have not believed to the changing of their life. And he says, well, let's just see. Do you want to believe? He said, I believe. And then what did he do? He worshiped him. He worshiped him. When you believe, you'll worship him. I can't wait to come through those doors and get in here and worship with y'all. And I got to tell y'all this. I'm about bursting with excitement right now, because to see this many people back on a Sunday night, and if you think that I am happy, you ought to see the smile on God's face tonight. Amen. It's time we quit playing church. Amen. It's time we got back to the feelings. It's time we got back to the place to where we're not ashamed to say hallelujah. Yeah. We're not ashamed to say amen. We're not ashamed to stand and raise our hands toward heaven and thank him and adore him and worship him for what all he's done for us. We've got to, folks. This whole world needs that. He was so satisfied with what God had done. He could only worship and adore him. Remember that word adore, Lynn? I know you do. Because he had tasted of his grace, his favor on him. He just walked past. Did you notice that? Let me just go back a minute. In chapter 8, it said this. And they took up stones to cast him. That was when they were trying to rock him out of there. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. He passed by them, and they were trying to find his head so they could beam him with a rock, and he just passed by them. Now, how'd he do that? He was right in the midst of them. How'd he do that? He's the Lord. He can do anything he wants to do, and he did. But notice this, so he passed by. And then the very next verse in chapter 9, and Jesus passed by. Last verse in 8, and in the first verse in 9, and as Jesus passed by, he's passing by, and as he passed by, I can just see him now as he says, the rocks won't hit me, I'm going by. And as soon as he stepped out there, he saw the man right here, blind as he could be. He took time. They weren't that far away. They couldn't be. They're trying to kill him. And he stops, because the more important thing is right there blind and needing to see. And he took care of business. He passed by, and as he passed by, he said, hey, here's why I came to town. I didn't come to town to get stoned. I didn't come to town to go into the synagogue. I came to be with this man right here. This is my job, because he'd been blind from birth. And we won't say bless his heart. No, I ain't going to bless his heart, because his heart's going to be really fine here in just a minute. Did he miss anything on this earth? Not a whole lot. We've seen it all, and where are we? Right? It wouldn't matter. The main thing is that we know the Lord. It doesn't matter what all we see. Do I enjoy seeing the things that God has given me the ability to see and the opportunity to see? I love it. You know, I tell you, I love God's creation and want to see as much as I can. But that's not the main thing, folks. The main thing is that I'm ready to go and see him in glory. The best thing I'll ever see is his face. Well, does he sound a little overwhelmed? Y'all ever get overwhelmed? I'd love to see some of y'all get overwhelmed. That'd be really good. Hey, we might even have a little shouting going on if you get a little overwhelmed. He was so overwhelmed with a sense of the greatness of God. And I remember 2 weeks ago, we had such a service here that Lim was texting me for days after that, giving me more reasons to see his greatness. I enjoyed that, by the way, Lim. I did. And the goodness of God in my life, and the goodness of God in my life has been that he's put people in my life. I love that. And it's not because I'm a people person, because I'm not. But I have to say, he has blessed me so much with what he's done for me in this life. But if I had to put it on a level, it's way down here to what he's done for me deep down in my soul. Because when I know what is good, I know it's him. Look at verse 39. Verse 39 changes a few things. He said, and Jesus said, for judgment I am coming to this world. God is love, right? And we sing the song, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. First song I ever learned. Learned it really well because I can sing it backwards and forwards and love to sing it backwards and forwards. It'll never get old. But I have seen grown Christians act like they're ashamed to sing a children's song. That is not a children's song. It was taught to children, but when the person wrote it, I guarantee you he didn't write it for a little child only to learn. We teach it to them, and we want to hear them sing it. I had all my kids singing Jesus Loves Me. They probably hated me for making them sing it so much, but Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tell me. So that's not a five-year-old song. That's a song for anybody who knows that Jesus loves them. Yeah. And so when he said in verse 39, he said, for judgment I am coming to the world, that they which see might see not, might see, and that they which see might be made blind. Whoa! Sound a little confusing? Don't let it confuse you. Because now let's go back over it. Because he said, and they which see not might see. If you know you're not seeing, you'll be able to see. You got to know you're not able to see now. Because if you know you're not able to see, you'll be wanting to see. But he said, and they that they which see might be made blind. He would have to make some people blind so they'd be able to see. Because as long as you can see and you got it figured out, you're not going to listen to him. So he's going to make you blind so you'll be able to see. And if you know you're blind, you're going to see. You'll be able to see. You'll be able to let him. But he didn't stop there. He went on in verse 40 and he said this, and some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? And Jesus said unto them, if you were blind, you should have no sin. It would have already been forgiven. But now you say, we see. Therefore, your sin remaineth. How sad that we human beings, we think we can figure it all out. Oh, did I say that you can't figure your way into heaven? You can't have a plan of your own to get there? It's not going to work. No matter how educated you think you are, no matter how much science, no matter how much technology you have, doesn't make any difference. You can't get there without simply giving your heart and life to Jesus Christ. Until you see that you can't see, and you need. You see, when I got saved, I knew I needed a Savior. Didn't you? I knew I needed a Savior. I was lost. I thank God for those old-time preachers who preached the gospel and that little Sunday school teacher in my age 5 and 6-year-old class that told me that one day I would give my heart and life to Jesus because I would see myself as a sinner, as a lost person. And you know what? It happened. It happened because my dad and mom, I thank God for them, they made sure that we were in the house of God to hear the gospel preached. And when my little young heart got to the place to where I could understand that he died for me at Calvary because my sin was taking me to hell and I needed to have him as my Savior so I could go to heaven. And I know that some preachers would say, you want to be with your mom and dad in heaven, don't you? I don't remember thinking a thing about being with mom and dad in heaven. I remember loving Jesus. That's all I remember. I remember that Jesus loved me and I wanted to love him back. Do I want to be in heaven with my mom and dad? Well, of course I do. I want to be in heaven with every one of you. And by the way, that's one of the things I tell people now, and I started doing this some time ago. I just start telling them, I want to go to heaven with you. In other words, I'm going, I want to go with you. Don't you want to go to heaven with everybody you see? No, I do. I do. I guarantee you, this blind man, when he got up and started going around and talking to everybody and asking if they wanted to be a disciple also, I'll guarantee he didn't stop. Think about it. Been blind his whole life. I got a feeling the rest of his life was dedicated to the one who gave him sight. Our life should be dedicated to the one who gave us sight. Church, from the bottom of my heart tonight, I want to thank you for coming back. But more than that, I want to thank God for showing us why we would come back together. Next Sunday morning, I'm going to put up a new banner. And when you come in, you'll see it. It'll be in here. Hello? It'll be a new banner, and I want you to see it because it'll tell you what I'm saying right now. And when you see it, you're going to say, oh, that's what you were talking about. It is what I'm talking about. I love y'all. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we are grateful for this day. So grateful. I want to thank you for what happened this morning. I want to thank you for the afternoon, but Lord, do I want to thank you for what you did here tonight for us. For each individual that came back to hear the rest of chapter 9 and how this man's life was changed for eternity. Thank you. Thank you for inspiring us to not let a person go by that we don't tell them how happy we are in you, how happy you make us, because we have eternal life with you. Thank you so much. And if there's anybody here tonight who does not, beyond the shadow of a doubt, know Jesus as their Savior, I pray, oh God, that tonight will be the night. And we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.